This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now, a new survey that has found 41% of Malaysian youth are unsure of their political preferences.
So Architects of Diversity, and this is in collaboration with Undi 18, conducted a survey called the Youth Aspiration Manifesto Survey. It's actually part of Undi 100, a campaign to achieve 100% youth voter turnout and to ensure that youth voices are heard by political parties. The survey ran from late February to early March this year, and it involved 3,089 respondents. So, as you mentioned, Sharmila, I think the big takeaway is the 41% being unsure of their political preferences, something that's on everyone's mind as we head towards GE15, as it looms over us ever closer. But there's good news as well in terms of voting, right? Because 80% of those surveyed reported their intention to vote, 13% are on the fence, and that 55% of the 80 who intend to vote have never voted before, which I think is very, very, very exciting. Let's see, what else? 50% think that there are too few women in politics, while 8% think that there's too many.
So, just to add on, this is a survey involving young people, right? And 63% of them, perhaps predictably, felt that there wasn't enough youth representation in politics. So really, we're going to try and unpack what this survey entails and what it really says about the upcoming election, which will, of course, see a whole bunch of people who haven't voted before coming in to vote. So I think it is quite important to unpack what that means when they say we're not sure who we want to vote for. Do let us know what you think. How did you decide who to vote for when you were younger? Did you inherit a political party preference? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Jason Wee, co-founder of the Architects of Diversity. Jason, good to have you with us.
Great to be on board again.
Start with some background on the survey and what it aimed to find out.
Right. So the survey, you know, this is the third release of the trove of the survey results, where we surveyed 3,089 respondents using an outside survey company called Base AI. And the survey really aimed to measure policy preferences among youth, of which the first and second release of the survey, we talked a lot about housing, we talked a lot about rental markets, the environment, and so on and so forth. And so this third release of the survey really focuses on the political preferences of youth and who they want to see represented in among politicians, as well as where are they really standing today. And so it's really a nice kind of ending to say that, you know, we have all these policy preferences among youth, but how are you manifesting politically might not be so optimistic as you've alluded to before.
Now, one of the biggest takeaways is that 41% of the youth polled are still unsure of their political preferences. Could you expand on that? And what were some of the reasons for this?
For sure. I mean, so we didn't, you know, we didn't ask why they're unsure to be certain, but 41% is a concerning number. And I think many outlets are reporting that, you know, it's one, I guess, in some ways, is unsurprising that it is at 41%. But we need to compare and contrast that with the number that says, you know, 80% of youth surveyed want to vote, and most have not voted before. And so it is very optimistic to say that, you know, a huge majority do want to go out to the polls. But when we compare that with this number that 41% are not sure who to vote for, I think we can somewhat deduce that this is a sort of a picture of why youth are not turning out to vote. That is, they want to vote, but they're not sure of who to, you know, who to vote for. And I think that's really driving the kind of numbers we've been seeing in the previous state elections. In many ways, it's, you know, you wanting a t-shirt, but no t-shirt can really match my preferences. Other than, you know, the 41%, we've also seen somewhat of an interesting split among youth between their political choices. But even, you know, 41% is a big number, but I would almost go to some extent to say that even that might be an underestimation of the kinds of youth voter turnout, the youth political preferences that are in reality, because those numbers, you know, we're not exactly seeing 60% of youth going out to vote right now.
So what about the other 59% of the survey. Do you have a breakdown of their political leanings for those who did have preferences?
Yeah, for sure. So the four main kind of the one that stood out, right? So we have obviously we had Barisan Nasional leading at 15.5%, and second place we have Perikatan Nasional at 13.8%, and Muda at 11.9%, and Pakatan Harapan at 10.5%. So one, I think it's, you know, it might be a bit shocking for some people, especially, I guess, if you're listening to this, and it kind of disrupts the assumption that youth are pro-opposition. And I think this is kind of an assumption that we've been having, that Undi 18 would somehow lead to a larger leaning towards Pakatan Harapan or even Muda in that case, but that might not necessarily be the case given these numbers, and I think it debunks a lot of that. The second thing to note is that these are really slim margins. We look at 15.5%, 13.8%, and with the margin of error of any national survey, you could really say that these parties are neck to neck, that these major coalitions are really competing for a pool and perhaps a politically active pool of youth. And there's a huge chunk of the 41% that are untapped. The third thing I want to say is that I think maybe for many of us, it's quite interesting to see Muda there among the four. And so this and we also named them separate from Pakatan Harapan parties, right? That is not to say that this is the Pakatan Harapan chair, but you could say to some extent that Muda has galvanized a significant percentage of youth voters to have Muda as their political preferences, that is their main political preference. So you could say that Muda is almost a dark horse in this situation, especially in a neck-to-neck race among BN, PN, and PH.
Now, do you see this as a big differentiating factor between younger and older voters, considering, and you know, I'm just going to say that this is a generalization, but there is this perception that many older voters seem to vote along strong party lines?
I mean, I would say that's almost a very fair assumption, right? We have seen, and statistically, that the voter turnout for older populations are higher. And we see, even just observing anecdotally and voting stations, it is the elderly that go out to vote early and in bigger troves and in bigger percentages. So it's really unsurprising that party loyalty perhaps might be stronger among older populations, that's really driving them out to vote consistently. But I think what we need to consider as well is that for many youth, including myself, I haven't voted in elections yet because I'm just not old enough. We really haven't had a moment of full political participation where, you know, I was still in school when Bursay was at its peak. And, you know, we didn't have that moment of where peers were leading the charge of political participation and voicing out on current issues. So it's really interesting to see that perhaps it is right now that we're experiencing this, but we are also the generation that saw the kind of the glitz and glamour of PH promises not being fulfilled. And so in many ways, your generation stuck between, on one hand, not having that access to a real moment in politics just yet, but also living in the kind of the shadows of perhaps peers in their mid-30s that were part of the Bursay generation, right? And so I think it's quite interesting to note that a lot of youth, especially, you know, with BFM tweeting these results as well, many youth are just quote retweeting it, saying, you know, what's the difference between all the political parties at stake? You know, voting for BN, PN, or PH might be kind of really the same outcome. And so it's kind of that apathy or indecision that's really, I think, highlighted among the younger generation that perhaps isn't the case in the older generations that had those moments in the limelight and had that hope and optimism, given that it was very novel in that time.
You alluded to this earlier. The survey did find that despite being unsure of who to vote for, that 80% still do plan to vote. Do you see this as a positive indication of turnout for GE15?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it does. And I think it demonstrates that there is a gap, that it's not the case that youth are like completely uninterested in politics, right? I think it demonstrates that the gap is about political capture. Are political parties doing enough and doing more than they currently are to reach out to larger bases? And I think it's more worrying that political parties are pretty comfortable at their current voter base. And I think this is, you know, particularly clear for some parties and others. But there is a huge, I think, lag and disconnect across the board when it comes to appealing to younger voters, not just in terms of articulating policy preferences and a political ideal, but also just the way of connecting with younger voters, given that there's been a huge influx of new voters with not only just the shift in population demographics, but also with the introduction of Undi 18, that there's a huge trove of new voters and political parties need to create new ways of communicating and reaching out at that level, right? I think those are things that are very, you know, hopeful that we are unfortunately have to bank on political parties to do the hard work. But that's the kind of reality of politics today, right? Where that's just simply the representative democracy where we're hoping that someone will represent us and we're just waiting for the correct party to come out.
Are you worried about apathy? You know, because we've been seeing this happen, right, in the last few by-elections and so on. Yeah, I mean, are you worried about apathy among the youth?
I mean, if you're not apathetic at this point, I think you're probably not listening to the news. And so it's definitely worrying. And I think at any maturing democracy where we're coming out and, you know, in some ways stepping into a new age where political competition is a lot higher and things, there's a lot more uncertainty in terms of the national direction. Apathy, I think, is a natural byproduct. But how does that apathy move into a more kind of disciplined way of engaging in democracy? I think the narrative around, at least among youth my age, right, especially in GE14, was that this is kind of it. That was like, oh, that GE14 is the GE to kind of change things, especially if you're a Pakatan Harapan supporter. But I think the reality is that democracy, we're starting to learn, is a day in and day out process. And it's not going to be like I throw one ballot in and the country is going to change forever. It's more consistent. It's more long term. And so the hope is, I think, while we are apathetic, perhaps right now, I hope that that energy is translated to greater political participation, which we hopefully are seeing a trend of more youth being involved with politics on all fronts. For example, we know that Barisan Nasional fielded a really good percentage of youth as candidates in the Johor state elections. And so it's energy like that, that it's where the apathy should be transformed into.
We have about 2 minutes left. Now, based on the survey, it does appear that there is a lot to be done to capture the support of young voters. Moving forward, what's going to help this demographic believe that they will be fairly represented?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, you know, isolated incident in Malaysia, right? I think across the world, we see this challenge. I think in one way, having a clear articulated platform of what the country will look like, and especially in the case of Barisan Nasional, that has done a fantastic job at portraying this promise of stability, very much echoing, you know, the UK Tories that promised a stable and strong government. On the other hand, I think what other parties can adopt are, you know, more fresh. I know the word fresh has been reused, but I would dare say, you know, radical ideas in very much how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has done with the Dem Party in the US. And how will these fresh ideas be translated to the youth? I think that's what we're waiting to see. For youth who are not bought into this idea of stability, what then is left other than the status quo or idealistic past? What is then a promise of the future? That's not clearly articulated in the present. And I think whichever party can come closer to that and communicate that in a convincing way will be able to represent youth in a more efficient manner.
Jason, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thanks so much.
That was Jason Wee, co-founder of the Architects of Diversity, weighing in on a survey that they conducted along with Undi 18 that indicates 41% of youth that were polled are still unsure about their political preferences. Let us know, how did you decide who to vote for when you were younger? Did you inherit a political party preference? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.